Jesus said to the chief priests and the elders of the people, "Hear another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. Then he leased it to tenants and went on a journey. When vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to obtain his produce. But the tenants seized the servants, and one they beat, another they killed, and a third they stoned. Again, he sent other servants, more numerous than the first ones, but they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, thinking, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to one another, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance.' They seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. What will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants when he comes?" They answered him, "He will put those wretched men to a wretched death and lease his vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the proper times." Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes.' Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit."
Good morning. Peace be with you. Thank you. As I was praying over the readings this week, the imagery of the vineyard and the fruit that is to be born, in light of this being Pro-Life Sunday, I thought the imagery was great for us to reflect upon today. We know that today is Pro-Life Sunday, reminding ourselves of what the church expresses, that from the beginning, from the moment of conception of a child till its natural death, life is sacred, and that all the steps in between we are to respond to and nurture and provide what is good, especially the good news, especially the love of Christ. But what I want to focus on today is, as we do on this Sunday, on the unborn lives for which are in such jeopardy, that when life begins from the moment of conception, that is life. And how does it play out in this parable that Jesus gives us, in the analogy of the vineyard, in the presence of our own nation? And I think that we need to first reflect on that reality, that abortion takes lives. If we look at the two, Isaiah and the gospel today, the vineyard is simply this. The vine is the divine truth and love of God. That's how God roots us into our lives in Him. Root our lives in Him through the teachings of the church, through its sacramental life, through, as Paul tells us in the second reading, the example of those who proclaim the good news. Divine truth and life is divine. How important it is for us to see that it isn't something arbitrary. There is one truth, only one truth, that comes from God. And His divine love allows us to be guided by that truth. If I've said it once, I've said it 100 times here, that every time God gives a command, it is a command of love and truth. It's not a command to restrict our lives, but it is to guide our lives, to give us direction so that what? We can have the fullness of life in union with Him. That's what Paul says at the end of the second reading, right? He says, "Listen, receive, and hear what I give you and in my example, and that will bring you peace." So when we look at what happens in the first reading with Isaiah, we see all these wild grapes being produced. The reality of the wild grapes are that another vine has been planted, and fruit from divine love and truth is being not grown. Divine love and truth is a selfless act. That's what's important about this message. It's a selfless act. Selfishness cannot grow on that vine. It cannot produce fruit. I was blessed this weekend to have 3 weddings. And it was a wonderful opportunity to see young people still desiring to come together sacramentally in the world today where it's not really necessary. And I like to use it as an example of what it means to be connected to the divine and how the fruit really is the lives for which is the most precious gift, the lives of the unborn. For those of you who are married, perhaps you remember the 3 vows or the 3 intentions that make up the sacrament. They go like this. I asked the couple first, have you come here freely in order that you can commit your lives to each other forever? And they say yes. Then I ask them, have you come here to be faithful to each other for the rest of your lives? And they say yes. That sets the groundwork for the most important thing. The 3rd question. Will you accept children lovingly from God and bring them up according to the law of Christ and His church? 2 selfless yeses prepare them for the most selfless act. And that is, out of the love of that couple, new life. And to be able to give that life and allow it to be fruit. And they say yes. And my greatest day after their weddings is when they bring their babies here and I say, hey, you did a good job. You're doing what you promised you would do before the altar of Christ. 59 million babies have been aborted in our country since 1973, since Roe versus Wade. I was in the 7th grade. I remember today like it was today, because we had this great priest. He was very charismatic. He was fun to be with. And he walked in our classroom that day. And we knew immediately there was something wrong. We didn't know what it was. And he began to explain to us what the Supreme Court had ruled through Roe versus Wade, that someone could abort their unborn child. Now, we really didn't understand that. We were 7th graders. We really didn't understand exactly what that meant. But when we began to unfold it with him, we couldn't even believe that this could be real. In fact, most of my classmates in St. Margaret Mary's that year, most of us were the 4th or 5th, and maybe some even the 6th. It kind of scared us. That could have been us at the end of the line. But we knew it wasn't, because our parents had made those selfless promises. They understood the gift that was given. I think if you would have told us then, as innocent children, that 59 million children would be aborted, we would have never believed that. It would have never been something we could have imagined. What this is like in the analogy is simply this, that the vine has been planted in divine love and truth. Its branches become those who have been baptized and those who live in Christ. And before the very fruit, while it still has not seen the light of day, those grapes are plucked off the vine. And what happens when the grape, the unborn life, is plucked from the vine? The branch dies too. St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta says, every abortion takes 2 lives. There's 2 deaths. And I know, being in the confessional, how true that is. So when we think about bearing fruit, We must remember that life begins at the moment of conception. That every life in the womb who has no voice, we must be the voice. As Paul says, what we have been taught and received, we must profess as truth. For that is where peace will come. So what should be our mission this week? I think first and foremost, it should be that we begin with the reality that the sacredness of life must be recognized. That we must pray for the end of abortion. We must make people understand that the very fruit of not only the church, but of the vineyard, which is all of our world, is being taken by selfish acts. And those selfish acts add to other selfish acts. For if you can't respect a life before it's even born, how can one respect life in all its other stages? Secondly, I think we should pray for everybody who has been involved with an abortion, because they need to come to know that divine truth, which is always followed with divine mercy, that there is forgiveness, that there is healing. Instead of their lives being full of anger and hate, that they can come to the compassion and love of Christ. And third, as a mission, part of our mission, I think it's important for us to realize that the gift of the fruit of the vine is a selfless act. We need to become more selfless in the lives for which have been given to us. Selfless to the lives that are in most need of God's mercy. And we must pray that way. So when you come forward for Holy Communion, before you can receive Jesus as the bread of life, he is first the sacrifice. The greatest selfless act. And what is that act for? So that the vine can produce good fruit. When you receive him, thank him for the gift that nurtures your life. Ask him to help you to be selfless and loving those who have been given to you. And secondly, ask him to help you to be a witness for those who do not have a voice. Because it's been said that even in this virus, we can imagine how many empty chairs at tables in homes. And I pray for those families every day. But how many empty tables because of abortion? How many classmates are missing? How many universities have failed to know incredible minds? We pray that we may bear fruit, that you and me together can bring about the gift of God's love to its fullest peace in his kingdom.